Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And as you make your way there, for the past 8 weeks, we've been working and spending our time looking at the armor of God. And next week, we're going to finish that series. We're going to talk about the value of prayer as a part of a Christian spiritual attire. But this week, we're just taking a week off, in order to talk about something as a part of today's celebration of those becoming new members of this local Nazarene congregation. And so to begin, I just want to briefly share about my own personal relationship with the Church of the Nazarene, which began when I was fairly young. This is the earliest picture I have of my relationship with the Church of the Nazarene. I am the one on the far right of the screen hiding behind my brother in the blue jacket. I've told people before that I'm introverted, I'm shy and all that, and some people do not believe me, but I promise you that is the truth. There is an inward insecurity that's always there. So yes, I am the one just kind of peeking out from the side of that group of kids. I was somewhere around 6 years old when that picture was taken. And like I said, that's not too long after my mom started taking us, me and my brothers and my dad, to church. Now, Dr. H.C. Hatton, you can kind of see him maybe in the middle. His white hair blends in with all the other white parts of the picture, but there's an older gentleman there named H.C. Hatton who was a pastor at Sterling from somewhere in the 1940s all the way till 1991, so between 40 and 50 years as a pastor of that church, surrounded by all of us kids there on the platform at the front of the church. Not far from where I was standing was an altar that I remember praying at a few times along the way as I grew up. One of those times was for God to do a transforming work in my heart because I knew I needed the Holy Spirit to do some changes on the inside that I knew I couldn't do myself, changing my desires to be in line with God's desires. And another of those times at that altar, again, not too far from where I'm standing at that moment, it was an altar that I went up to pray about the call to ministry. I didn't come from any kind of a ministry family. My dad was a factory worker. My mom stayed at home with us boys when we were younger. I didn't have any idea what a ministry call looked like. I didn't know what a ministry family even looked like. So I had lots of questions and concerns and fears about that. And I went up to that altar to pray about that. The only thing scarier than going up to that altar to pray about a call to ministry was a few years later when I was preaching for the very first time just a few feet away where there was a big wooden pulpit much like this one, just a little bit over from where that picture was taken. That was one of the scariest moments of my life. I still have that moment on a VHS tape that I have never had the courage to watch again. I looked at it the other day and I was like, I just didn't want to do it, but I'm sure I gave it my best. Some of the most spiritually formational moments of my entire life happened in the context of that Sterling Nazarene church. What happened there greatly influenced the next stage of my life as I attended Olivet Nazarene University for my college education in general and my ministry preparation in particular. And it was at Olivet where I learned much more about the larger and more global Nazarene church than I ever really paid attention to when I was younger. And I got to learn about its historical background and its beginnings. And it was during that season at Olivet, as I'm taking classes and learning about the Church of the Nazarene, that I started to grow deeper Nazarene roots as I learned more about the particular Christian tradition that God had worked through to reach my family. It was during that season where I also learned a lot about the history of other traditions that I'd never really been exposed to because the only church I went to all of those years growing up was the same Nazarene church. I'd never been to other traditions before, except for maybe a couple funerals or things like that. Following my time at Olivet, I officially became a part of my second ever church family at Kankakee First Church of the Nazarene, and that's where Lori and I met. That's where Lori and I attended for several years and served for a variety of years as well. And then for a brief four-year window, we actually found ourselves driving from Kankakee all the way up here to Orland Park to go to Parkview Christian Church for about, like I said, 4 years. And it was while there where I found myself wrestling with the return of my call to ministry that I had steered away from for quite a few years. And it was during that season where I was trying to figure out what that path to ministry even looked like for someone like me in my situation. And it was at that time where I met with a professor of mine that I'd had back at Olivet and met with my pastor at Kankakee First Church, Pastor Heck, and talked with them about the call to ministry and got some really good guidance from them. And that's when Laura and I officially made the change back to Kankakee First Church with a very different purpose and a very different perspective than the years that we had been there earlier. 2014 to 2017 became years of preparation for ministry. I still didn't have any real clue what that might look like specifically, but I knew that I needed to be doing things that made me better equipped than where I was. And then that's when I met you, Calvary Church of the Nazarene. I met you originally through the Low Clan, introduced to them through Bible quizzing ministry that our district does, and got to know them, and Actions Speak Louder Than Words was the name of their team, so I didn't actually know what the name of their church was until later. So I met you kind of technically originally through them, but I met you officially on April 2nd, 2017. Pastor John did a message on being shaped by the potter's hands, and then we went downstairs and enjoyed a meal together, much like we're going to do here this morning. I had no idea at that point in April what things would look like here as an interim, but 6 months later, on October 1st, I was up here at this altar as a part of the pastoral installation service. And I have many fond memories of that weekend, and I cannot believe it's already been 6 years since then. One of my pictures I have in my office that I look at regularly is that moment up here on that particular Sunday. A lot has happened over the course of those years, and you may not realize just how much of an impact or how much of an influence you've been on me since I started in this very new role. More than you know, more than you realize. It's been an honor and a privilege to be allowed to be a pastor of this church, and a privilege and an honor to be a member of this church right alongside everyone else who are members, and to call this place our home. And with that, let's read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Go ahead and stand with me as I read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to be reading verses 12 through 26. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If we were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Go ahead and be seated. Now, at the very conclusion of this service, we'll be receiving new members of Calvary Church of the Nazarene, which, to be honest, is probably a little bit overdue. I actually started talking about it and mentioning it way back in the spring months, I think somewhere around March or April, but time gets away from me, and then next you know, summer's rolling in, and people have trips, there's all sorts of things going on. However, with today being my actual anniversary day of membership, this may be the perfect time to have a membership Sunday. For those becoming members or transferring membership today, we can share the same anniversary date, so I think that's kind of cool. In recent weeks, I've been spending my time thinking about membership and what it means in the life of a local church. Why membership? Why is this something Christians should do, or is it something Christians should do? Where does becoming a member of a church fit in relation to those other things that we do, and like communion or baptism? How do those things all work together? Are they connected? Those are the sorts of things that denominations of all kinds have gone to great lengths to hammer out as they collectively piece together a framework for the way in which they try to live out as best as they can the life they feel God has called them to live out as the body of Christ in this world, as the church. The things I want to talk about today in regard to church membership, I'm hoping has carryover value into any and all Christian denominations of all types, Catholic or Protestant, Methodist or Baptist, Presbyterian or Nazarene. what I want to talk about is a foundation for why Christians should be full-fledged members of their church family, whatever church family that happens to be. This message is not intended to be a message for why you should choose Nazarene over and above being a member of some other church tradition. Now, personally, I have my own list of reasons for choosing to be a part of this specific Christian tradition. I'm not a Nazarene today because that's what I grew up and that's what I'm most familiar with, although those things are true. This is the denomination I grew up with. This is the tradition I'm most familiar with, but that's not it. I have my own reasons for my choice, but there are Nazarenes who are Nazarenes for maybe other reasons, reasons important to them. And while it'd be wonderful for the incoming members today, if they were desiring to become members of the Nazarene Church for very Nazarene-y reasons, that would be great. At the same time, I think there are some fundamental reasons why people should be members of the church in whatever tradition they're in and be involved in a membership relationship with their specific church. There are many who would say that there's nothing in the Bible about church membership, and because you can't find a verse about official vows or commitments between a person and a church, then that's just not something a Christian has to do or really should feel inclined to do. And while it may be true, you cannot find a verse about official church membership, the same situation actually also exists in regard to the covenant of marriage. The Bible... There's nothing in the Bible that I've seen that says a couple needs to have a certain marriage ceremony and exchange public vows to each other in order for a couple to consider themselves to be married. Now, we know marriages happen, and we know there are weddings that happen, but beyond that, we don't actually have any specifics about the actual process of getting married from Scripture itself. There are no marriage vows in Scripture, and there's definitely not anything in there saying that people need to get a marriage certificate from a county courthouse in order to be legally married. And yet I know plenty of Christians who feel extremely uneasy, and rightfully so, about the idea of couples moving together, moving in together, living like they're married and talking like they're married while not actually going through any official marriage process. Many Christians would insist that there needs to be an official process, even if there is no such process laid out in Scripture. We don't have any guidance for that necessarily. And so I would say, even though we don't have any direct scriptural guidance on something like church membership, I don't think that detracts in any way from the value of having something like church membership. I don't think couples should play like they're married. I think they should actually get married. And I don't think Christians should pretend like they're members of the body of Christ in the church. I think they should actually become members of the body of Christ in the church. I say that because I view an individual Christian's relationship with the church in much the same way that I view marriage. Choosing who you marry is an extremely important decision. Who you marry has a tremendous impact on the life that you experience in this world. And for those who are married, can I get an amen? Like, yes, who you marry has a big impact. The same ramifications happen for a Christian with the church that they choose. The particular body of Christ a Christian is connected to will have a significant impact on a Christian's life, even beyond their spiritual life. The gravity of a Christian's choice of a church is right up there with the gravity of a Christian's choice of a spouse, as I see it. Viewing my own relationship with a church with a comparable level of seriousness and sanctity as a marriage is why I have no qualms about churches of different types having a membership process in place. I see the church membership process as the mutual exchange of vows, vows of a church to its members and vows of the members to a church. There are far too many Christians out there with a casual dating relationship with the body of Christ, very low commitment and very low levels of transformation. Transformation doesn't happen for Christians who just opt out at the first signs of trouble or leave at the mildest inconvenience whatsoever, or whatever church it might be. Marriages are strengthened when couples have made it through some battles instead of calling it quits. And the same goes for Christians entering into covenantal relationships with the body of Christ and sticking with the community of people for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't any reasons at all for changing churches, because I know there are plenty of reasons for that to happen. There are plenty of justifications for making changes. What I am saying, though, is that Christians, especially here in America, where there's churches all over the place, Christians should have a more serious and more devoted posture toward the body of Christ than is seen in the church shopping thing that can really happen pretty easily. A posture that doesn't resist or reject entering into church membership, similar to the growing ways in which people in our culture today reject entering into official marriage. I believe the membership process of churches invites people toward a more committed and long-term relationship with the body of Christ, and that is a healthy invitation for churches to make. It's over the long haul of a relationship where you can see the body of Christ be all of those things that we just read in Scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's a long list of things in there, and those things happen in the context of a long and healthy relationship with the body of Christ. And it's when the local body of Christ is constantly swapping out body parts with other local bodies of Christ that the body of Christ can't quite grow and mature as well as it should. When you're a member of the body of Christ, there are things that happen in that body among the collection of its members in order for that body to be and do what it was created to be and do. Things that apply just as much to being a member of a local church as it does to being a member of the body of Christ in general. In fact, I would say that the local church situation is where the rubber meets the road in the body of Christ. The local church is where theoretical discussions about what the body of Christ should be like and what the body of Christ should be doing or not be doing, this is where that happens. The local church is where those theoretical discussions become practical in the lives of the body of Christ. Being a member of a local gathering of believers is the up-close and personal outworking of what it means to be a member of the universal body of Christ. What being a member of the body of Christ looks like on a local level can vary greatly from place to place. The local look of a local church here is going to be different than a local look at a church somewhere else. It's going to look different because of denominational affiliations. It's going to look different because of cultural context. It's going to look different just from rural or urban settings. There's a variety of things that are going to impact what a local church looks like. It's going to look different on all those things. Being an active member of a church can take many shapes and forms depending on where you are at. But there are two areas where I think there are universal aspects of church membership no matter where you are, and that's what I want to focus on this morning. First, membership is a call to unity in the body of Christ. Officially entering into a community and into a communal way of life from an individualistic way of life is a transition that has all sorts of challenges. The quality of life for a community hinges on its ability to maintain unity between a collection of members in that community. The greater the number of people, especially as a church grows, the greater the number of people in a community, the greater the degree and the greater the degree of diversity allowed in that community, the greater the challenge in maintaining it. Each new member stretches the unity of a community just a little bit more, and with each new area of difference or disagreement that people may have, that stretches the unity of a community as well. While the miracle of a successful marriage is when two become one, the miracle of a successful church and church membership is when dozens of people or hundreds of people become one. Now, last year we did a series on unity for, I think it was like 6 or 7 weeks. And one of the final weeks we had Chris Brandstetter, who's one of our missionaries. Now he's in Okinawa, but he was in China for many, many years. And he wrote a book on unity. And so he was talking about the unity of the church in Beijing, a church that was composed of people coming from multiple denominational traditions and coming from multiple cultural traditions. But because of the way things are in China, they only allow certain churches. This church had people coming from all different places. If they can experience unity there as a work of the Holy Spirit, then surely unity can be the experience of any church here. It's often said regarding relationships that opposites attract, and there is a high degree of truth to that. There is something about differences in personality that can be the cause of fascination. And as somebody who's been married for a long time and others who've been married for a long time, some of those things, those differences that seem so fascinating in the beginning can become the source of irritation later on. I know that's, I'm sure there's things about me that were entertaining when we were dating and engaged that are far less entertaining after almost 20 years together. Differences are not the material or the building blocks necessary for a sturdy foundation. While being opposites can be the initial cause of attraction, what you share in common is what actually holds you together for the long haul. Things like the central core beliefs of the Christian faith. Unity in the body of Christ does not require complete uniformity of all beliefs, especially in the Church of the Nazarene, where there is breathing room in regard to beliefs that are non-essential regarding salvation. There are essential, non-negotiable beliefs, which we hold in our closed hand, and there are many more beliefs that we hold in an open hand. Beliefs that are open for discussion, open for disagreement, but not open for them to be used to cause disunity or fracture or split the church. I'm fairly certain that the repeated fracture and split of the church over the course of her history is one of the things that breaks God's heart the most. Holding all of your beliefs in a closed hand, or too many of your beliefs in a closed hand, is a good way to encounter repeated conflicts and miss out on the unity of the Spirit. If anyone is looking for a church where everyone is like them, I don't think anybody will ever have a chance of finding that, where everybody believes and sees things exactly the same as they do. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the members were all one part, where would the body be? Membership is a call to unity among the members of the body of Christ. Second, membership is a call to service in the body of Christ. No marriage would be successful if it didn't have a mutual desire by both parties involved to serve and care for each other. And no marriage would be lasting if it didn't have some level of agreement about the day-to-day roles and responsibilities that are a natural part of living together as a couple or as a family. Service and the utilizing of one's area of strength and giftedness for the benefit of another person is vital in any and all marriages, and it is no different in the life of the church. The body of Christ is composed of different parts with different members because the body of Christ is in need of many different gifts. Because no single person here has all the gifts needed for the body of Christ to optimally function in this world, it's necessary for every member, every part, to do their part. Now, earlier, Larry read for us a scenario in the book of Acts chapter 6 about a conflict in the early days of the early church. And in order for them to address those problems that were going on in the distribution of food that was going to widows, and some people were getting overlooked, and there were some problems going on, in the midst of them trying to figure that out, it was decided that duties needed to be delegated in the body of Christ. While the church, the early church, was not an organization, it was by all means in need of organization. And it needed people with certain qualifications and certain positions of oversight in order to get the organization they needed for the fair distribution of food to all of the widows instead of just some. Even though the words church membership are not contained anywhere in that passage from Acts chapter 6, I do think it lays out a purposeful reasoning for having a structure in place in the church to make sure that the ministries of the body of Christ are operating as they should. In order to do that, you need people serving in a variety of capacities, people who are fully vested in the life of the church. Now, recently, I've been spending a lot of my time looking at retirement investments and trying to learn about investment options so Laura and I can be wise stewards of what we have so that we can enjoy retirement at the age of 90. That's my goal. I don't know. They may change that retirement age as we go along. I don't want to retire that age, so I'm trying to be smart about what I'm doing now. And so we're at a stage now we have to kind of reevaluate what we're doing and maybe make some changes. But what I've noticed over the years, especially over the last 5 years, I would say, is that the more you have invested in, you know, retirement things, whatever, the more you have invested, the more you pay attention to what's going on with the things like the stock market or the housing market. If you're not invested at all, you have little to no reason to care about the future or what may happen with the ups and downs. The same situation exists for a Christian's investment in the body of Christ. If there's very little investment into the body of Christ, there's very little at stake if things don't end up well. If a church were to collapse, a non-investment person could easily just go somewhere else and not make an investment there with no real loss, no real change. Not making an investment is one way that marriages fracture horribly. Not making an investment is one way that churches fail. Bad things happen whenever too much is carried by too few. That goes for workplaces, that goes for marriages, and that goes for churches. People get tired, people get burned out, and give up. The body of Christ thrives when all of its members have a place and a purpose in the full life of the local gathering of Christ followers, a community that can assist, encourage, lift up the parts of the body of Christ that need it, a community where when one part is weak, the others are strong and ready to chip in. Membership is a call to service among the members of the body of Christ for the sake of the members of the body of Christ. Now, the process of working on a message for today and thinking about church membership provided me with an added bonus message that I personally needed to hear, especially on a day like today with my anniversary date, and it's this. Membership is a call to renewal. Unity and service are important aspects of what it means to be a member of the church, and nobody does those things perfectly. It really does depend on the ongoing work of the Spirit in our lives individually and collectively for that to actually happen. And my hope is that a message like this has value to more than just those who are becoming new members with us today. My hope is that it would also be an invitation for already existing members to review and renew their membership, myself included. I know that for me, my full evaluation is that with the Spirit's help, I know I can be a better member of the body of Christ in general and a better member of Calvary Church of the Nazarene in particular, again, with the Spirit's help. Better in the years ahead than I have been in the years past. There are those who do a renewal of their marriage vows for a variety of reasons. Perhaps they've hit some sort of a milestone marker. I know Lori and I, we're coming up next year as our 20th, and we've talked about it a little bit. Maybe there's something we should do for that. Perhaps you know somebody. Maybe you've done that yourself. You've renewed your marriage vow. While the Wesleyan Covenant Renewal Service that we have done in the past a couple of times is a great time to renew your spiritual commitments through the life of the church, I think that a Sunday like today is also a great time for that as well. If you're married, you find yourself at a wedding, and you often think back to your own wedding while the other wedding is in the middle of going on. And this morning, as I go through the process of bringing in new members, I would invite other members to remember and renew your membership as well. At this time, I'd like to ask Chris, Paul, and Tracy to join with me up front. If you could kind of come up here on this side. Chris, Paul, and Tracy. Now, almost a year, this is back in 2016, I had to go back through. We had a membership service at Kankakee First Church of the Nazarene in 2016. Yeah, if you guys just come kind of right along here. So it's 2016, I think it was June. There was a membership service that we had. You can face the congregation. Listen, I have to do this 30 minutes a day, 30 minutes a week, every week, looking out at all of them. You can handle a couple of minutes. We'll be fine. So in June of 2016, we had a membership service at Kankakee First Church. Pastor Heck, who's already passed away a few years ago, he had done a service. And after that, I wasn't a new member. I had already been a member for a while. But I sent him a message right after that service. I said, can you send me what you said? I really, the way he went about it, the things that he said as a part of that, I'm like, I really liked how you did it. It spoke to me as a member of Kankakee First Church and renewing my membership and what that looked like in the life of Kankakee First Church of the Nazarene. And so I sent him a message, and I went back and I pulled that up. I think I used this when we did a membership thing a few years ago, but I wanted to reuse it again today. Like I said, Pastor Heck has passed away, but his words are going to live on through the membership. And so I asked for it, I got it, and a few little revisions to it as a part of the membership thing. But I would hope that the membership thing that we do now with them would also be something meaningful for other members as well, as a part of Calvary, as long as you are with us. So let me go ahead and do that. I got it. I should have brought, Pastor Heck gave out, we had these little hanky things that had his little, for his funeral. I should have brought, I'll remember that next time. Wonderful pastor in my life anyways. So for church membership, the privileges and blessings that we have in association together in the Church of Jesus Christ are sacred and they are precious. In expressing a desire to unite with the church family, every member of the Calvary Church of the Nazarene commits to the following charge. Number one, I will protect the unity of my church by acting in love toward other members, by refusing to gossip, and by encouraging its leaders. Number two, I will share the responsibility of my church by praying for it, by inviting the unchurched to attend it, and by warmly welcoming everyone who visits. Number three, I'll serve the ministry of my church by discovering my gifts and talents, by being equipped to serve by my pastors, and by developing a servant's heart. And number four, I will support the testimony of my church by attending faithfully, by living a Christ-like life, and by giving as the Lord leads. If you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and that He does save you right now, please respond by saying, I do.
I do.
If you wholeheartedly embrace the charge of membership as just described, please respond by saying, I do. It gives me great pleasure to joyously welcome you to the family of Calvary Church of the Nazarene, and it will be my prayer that God will richly bless you and keep you and enable you to become a source of encouragement, strength, and blessing as together we strive to know our Heavenly Father, to grow in the likeness of His Son, and go in the power of His Spirit. And I pray that Calvary Church would be every bit as much of a blessing to you as you have been for us over these past couple years, almost, for all of you for being here. So please join me. By the powers vested in me, I announce to you our newest members of the Calvary Church of the Nazarene. Thank you, Esther. We do have, I do have some gifts here. I have a little certificate, and I also have some gifts. Here you go, Chris.
Thank you.
Paul. Let me see. And then a little devotional, a one-year devotional for you to be able to use as you continue to grow in Christ-likeness like the rest of us. I hope that it's something that you enjoy and is valuable to you. And what we'll do at this time is a chance for you to be able to come up and welcome them. And as you come up, if you can kind of stay up here, we've got a closing song that we're going to do. And so at this time, if you'd like to be able to just come up and welcome our newest members of the Calvary Church of the Nazarene, this would be a great time to do it. And like I said, after you come up, if you can kind of stay up, we'll do our closing song together.